If you've got your Bibles, you can open them. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to continue with our Abraham. Good morning. Nice to see you. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, you are blessed. And then turn to the person on the other side and say, I am blessed. That's absolutely true. Why don't you pray after me? Let's pray all together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We rely on you. We adore you. Please teach me. Please train me. Please change me. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is Genesis chapter 12. This morning we'll speak to you about the blessing of Abraham. So it's a blessing morning. The Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then if you turn to Galatians chapter 3, you see that that blessing that God gave to Abraham, that mighty blessing that we're going to look at right now, that blessing comes all the way down to land on your head in Teesside Park this morning. If I can just find the book of letter to the Galatians, I'll be happy. Is it in the New Testament? Galatians 3:14. Actually, we'll start at 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of Holy Spirit. Is that exciting? Is that awesome? The blessing that God gave to Abraham, and the foundational root of that blessing is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit with him, God with him, to make him great, to cause him to increase, to give him visions and dreams and a future, to do supernatural things in his body that would be impossible otherwise. The Holy Spirit, that blessing is given to those who come into Christ Jesus. So if you're a Christian this morning, you have at your disposal, you're blessed in Jesus with every spiritual blessing. Well, Paul calls that the blessing of Abraham. Is that interesting? So let's have a look at the blessing of Abraham and see what you've actually got. The first awesome blessing that God gives Abraham is vision itself, the blessing of vision for his life. I will make you into a great nation. Abraham couldn't even have kids. How could he be made into a great nation? He had no vision for his life whatsoever until God spoke to him and told him his destiny and his future. That's exactly the same with you. You have absolute, without God speaking to you, without God revealing his plan for your life, without Jesus, you are without God and without hope in this world. You have no vision for your life. You might have your own vision, your own little ideas, but how many of us have learned that they don't actually work? Life doesn't work without God. Why? Because it's cursed. God blessed Adam and Eve. Stella preached about them this morning. Blessed Adam and Eve in the garden, and when they fell, they came under the curse of God. Life did. Raising children was cursed. Their work and their effort was cursed. Their relationships were cursed. Life didn't stop, but it became very hard. Death was at work, breaking down family life, breaking down relationships, breaking down people's hearts and minds. That's what sin does. That's what just life does, apart from God. Life's just cursed. I work as hard as I can, but it actually, without God, it means nothing. I've got money in the bank, but you know what? Without God, it's cursed. Money isn't a blessing without God. It's trouble. It's a curse. Any seeming success just gets whittled away. If you finally make it, you work all your life to earn all this stuff and accumulate all this stuff, you pass it on to your kids and they waste it. Oh. Life's cursed. Without God. Until Jesus. Then. Blessing time! Jesus on the cross took all of that curse, all of what makes life not work, and took it away from those who come to him, so that those who come to him, is this you? Is it you? Have you come to him? If not, and you might not have yet, if you're in this room this morning and you haven't come to Jesus Christ, let me give you some awesome advice. Get to Jesus as quick as you can before you leave the room. Just come to him now in your heart. Say, Jesus, count me in. That'll do. He'll save you. And then you'll inherit this good stuff. You who come to him get a life that is blessed. Would you like that? A blessed life. A blessed life. Not cursed anymore. All the curses removed. You get a blessed life. Starts with salvation. Starts with knowing where you're going when you die, that you're right with God, that you're going to heaven, that you're born again. You see the end before you get the beginning. And then all the other blessings start to come. They do. And your brothers and sisters, you need to get them all. So that you can not only go to heaven and still live a cursed life. That's not Christianity. It's as you go to heaven, you inherit more and more and more blessings. You overcome every problem, every difficulty, every sin. And life begins to work for you, and your family begins to get blessed, your relationships begin to get blessed, your marriage, your children, everything gets super blessed. It doesn't mean you don't have problems. It means you're blessed by God. It means no matter what the devil, the world, and your own weaknesses throw at you, you end up on top. You come out well. Life goes well for you. That's what it means to be blessed. So nothing to do with how much you've got in the bank. It's got everything to do with where you are with God. That's a blessed life. Would you like to be blessed? You are blessed. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm definitely blessed. No matter what happens to me, no matter what my circumstances, I am definitely blessed because I've come to Jesus. You are totally blessed. The first blessing was vision. He showed Abraham his future. It's the first thing he said to him. Abraham, you are going to be a great nation. Huh? I can't even have kids. God shows you the end first. You need vision for your life, brothers and sisters. You have to see where you're going. That's vision. And then you can change and grow. If you can't see, you can't get there. You have to see. We've been doing this project with our kids about mountains. You know, Margaret says to me, here's another school project. And I think, you're joking. I never even got homework when I was in school. And our kids seem to get, you know, stuff that people get in universities. Eight-year-olds are getting these days. Have you noticed? It's absolutely demonic, I think. But anyway. And it's not work for the kids. It's work for the parents. Do a massive project. Do all this. Research this. And bring it in tomorrow. Huh? We need to pray against these teachers, I think. But anyway, we get this. And actually, the funny thing is, I always start with a little bit of a grump, but then the Holy Spirit speaks to me while I do these projects, and I'm slowly getting educated. So we started researching, looking about mountains, and one of the questions was, you know, Edmund Hillary and the conquest of Everest. And I started reading this stuff, a little bit of a grump, to be honest, put my reading glasses on, sat in the front room, as if I haven't got more to do than this, Lord. And I started looking at, oh! This is awesome! I've got to preach this! So I am, so here it is. The discovery of Everest, do you know that they didn't discover Everest till 1852? No one knew it existed. No one knew the Himalayas existed. No one knew these 8,000 meter mountains, the highest mountains in the world, existed because Nepal and Tibet, they were closed countries. They didn't let anyone in. So no one knew. And it was British surveyors working in India who were making maps of the highest mountains in the north of India, very high mountains anywhere. They were up there making these maps, and as they were making them, something awesome happened. They were looking out, far out, towards the east, and there was a break in the clouds. Ridiculously high. And in this break in the clouds, they saw this perfect white pyramid. It was the summit of Everest. For about 5-10 minutes, they saw it. They were saying, "What is that? What is that? What is that?" And then the clouds covered it. And they were looking at each other. That cannot be a mountain that high. And they did the maths. It was trigonometry. You impressed? For a man who knows nothing about maths. They did trigonometry. I've been rehearsing that for weeks. And and apparently it's something to do with this. And they figured out. They said, if what we saw, they just guessed of where they'd seen in the clouds. They said, if what we saw was a mountain, that is the highest, that's got to be, and of course they were right, the highest mountain in the world. It was Everest. Once they'd seen it, that was it. They were lost. They had to climb it. They went back to the Governor General of India, who had a nice name. He was called Mr. Everest. They told him about this mountain. They said, you've got to climb this mountain. You've got to get permission to get in that nation. It took decades just to get in the nation, to begin to explore the Himalayas. Decades. They said, if we climb this mountain, we'll name it after you. Mr. Everest said, thank you. And they did. Edmund Hillary tried 9 times to get up Everest. They did not get up to 8,000 meters. Human above 8,000 meters. It's 8,800 and odd. Human beings can't survive above 8,000 meters. They had to find a way of getting up, climbing up ice walls, 10-story building high, just as part of the climb. And amazing. But you know what they did it? Do you know why they did it? Because they had the vision. They'd seen something that captivated them. Have you seen that yet? For your own life. I'm talking about something way bigger than Everest here. I'm talking about the will of God for your life. You have to have vision from God, from the Holy Spirit, to see where you're going, to be able to suffer. People died. Many people died trying to get up. If you believe it's worthwhile, it's going to cost you getting there. It's going to cost you for sure. You've got to have a vision of it. It took Abraham 15 years to have the first kid. Look up at the stars. You're going to be the father of a great multitude. Multitude, multitude. Look at the sand. You're going to have thousands of descendants. Great, great. Took him 15 years to get the first one. Think he felt discouraged? Read it. Massively discouraged. Will it ever happen? Maybe you're thinking that about yourself. Listen, if you've seen something from God, it will happen. Don't give up on it. If you haven't seen something off God, go to Jesus today and get something off God. You need to know where you're going. You need vision from your own life. Otherwise, you're just like the fisherman on the boat, like the disciples who worked hard all night and got nothing. Anyone ever felt like that? You're working for nothing. You're getting nothing. Why? Because you're not looking in the right direction. You're looking at the dark waters of your life. You're looking for a breakthrough in your marriage. You're looking for a breakthrough in your job. You're looking for a solution with your kids. You're looking into dark waters. You work all night like that, get nothing. Turn away from yourself. Turn away from those waters and look at Jesus. Jesus is on the shore waiting for you to look at him. And when you look at Jesus and start seeing your life through his eyes, Jesus sees your life totally different. Oh, there's massive shoals of fish right under you. I can't see it. I can. There's massive blessings waiting for you just under your feet. I can't see it. You can't see it yourself. You have to look away from yourself. You have to pray. You have to go to God. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. You have to look to him. and let him say what is going on in your life. Let him show you exactly what to do. Right, drop your net on the other side. When? Now. And you'll have a miraculous life. You'll have so much blessing coming into your life. You wonder what to do with it. Apparently you can sink your boat through too much blessing. Stop, Lord. It's too good. Life's too good. Have you got there yet? I'm going to die. I'm so happy. No, neither have I. So let's keep getting more from God. You do that through vision, through looking and seeing where you're going. Vision gives you energy and strength, and it keeps you young. It makes you young. Is anyone here over 25? Well, you need help. You need vision from God. That was what kept Joshua and Caleb young. They went through the wilderness, 40 years of wilderness, like everyone else. But at the end of that 40 years, they were still full of vision and still young. Why? Because they'd gone into the promised land and they'd seen it. They'd seen the fruit and seen the possibilities. That vision was in their heart. So when they came back and heard the terrible news that they were going to have to walk back into the wilderness because of other people's disobedience, they didn't lose the vision. Amazing. All the other people died, but that vision kept them alive. They were seeing milk and honey, all the time. They might have been walking in the wilderness, but they were seeing milk and honey. They went to bed dreaming of milk. They woke up smelling honey. In the night, they dream, honey, honey. Yes, can I help you, dear? No, I'm not speaking to you. I'm dreaming of honey and milk because that's where they were going. So when they finally broke through, demolished Jericho, got into the land, it says Caleb and Joshua, they were still like young men. They were in their 80s, didn't bother them. Caleb was still saying, give me this mountain. Who wants to go mountain climbing when you're in your 80s? Someone with vision. Someone who's been captivated by God. Maybe you're sat here this morning, you think, my days are over. No, they're not. I've done my Christianity thing. No, 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 you haven't. There's no more mountains for me. You know what? You're wrong. Let the clouds part. Look to Jesus, and he'll show you your next steps. And that vision itself will fill you with life. If it's from God, it'll fill you with life. If it's your own desires and your own will, it'll be no life in it. But if you pray and come to God, he'll show you what your life's meant to be. And as you see it, you'll get vision. If you can't see it, you can't do it. Do you know that? But if you can see it, you can do it. You have to go to God. Here's a little key for you. First of all, be absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit. We said that last week. Can't say that enough. Seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God said in Joel, in the last days, that's these days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Is there any flesh here this morning? I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will see visions, and you will prophesy. That's where we're living. That's our era, the era of the Holy Spirit. You must have visions and dreams from the Holy Spirit. And then you can speak. Then you'll have something to speak. You've got to go to God to get it. Here's a little clue for you. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Who knows? I know. You're looking around. I wonder what the plan is for my life. I've got a plan for my life. Or I make my own plans and it never works. And God says to you, I know the plans. Oh, that's a little hint for you where to go to get them. You have to pray. You have to go to God with your life and say, I don't know what to do in my life. I don't know when to be going next. Thank you for where you've got me. Where am I going now? Show me the end of my life. Show me the big picture and the little steps in between. Holy Spirit, show me. And when he shows you, you have divine energy and strength. Often Tom came to my back garden a couple of years ago. I thought, what's he doing in my back garden? No, he'd come for lunch, for coffee and chat. And I'd see him in that university and say to him, have you got any thoughts about doing something in university? Yeah, I'd love to do something in university. Well, why don't you do something in university? Yeah, I'd love to do something in university. But you know what? That doesn't get anything done in the university. You have to have a vision and a dream. One day he came to me and said, I was soaking the other day, lied in the presence of God, yeah? And God spoke to me, yeah?
And what he said, I heard his voice. And as he was telling me, his eyes filled with tears. I thought, oh yeah, he's heard his voice. So what did he say? He said, you will preach the gospel for me. Oh, you've got it. Okay, Tom, now are you going to university?
Yeah, I'm going to run an Alpha course in the university.
He's burning with vision. Did you notice that? Did you see how well Tom did that? Anyone notice? Anyone see Tom change as he did that? Anyone see him able to get to the front and have an anointing from God he didn't have before? A winsomeness. Everyone loved him, even his terrible jokes. Yeah, but they were attracted to him. Did you notice that? That's God. That's a vision and a dream. And he believes it and then starts to move towards it. And then there's success in it. It works. All his students come to know Jesus. And now the ball's rolling in the university. How did it happen? Presence of God. God speaks. You will. That's it. You could get it from me. It's much drier and harder. Tom, why don't you do something in university? God speaks. Boom. You can't stop him. What about you? Let God speak to you. Let be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get the plans from God, because if you see it, you can do it. It's the same with healing. You can't heal people unless you see people healed. You know that? That's how Jesus trained people to heal the sick. He trained the 12 by healing people in front of them till they went to bed seeing it in their head. Crowds healed, healed, healed. They were astounded. Blind eyes open, 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 open. Blind eyes open. This is phenomenal. Absolutely awesome. Deaf ears open, open, open. They saw it every day because they were with Jesus. See it, see it, see it, see it. Right, guys, go and do it. Do you know, I think we can do it. Why? Because they've seen it. They've seen it happen. That's how you heal the sick. You heal the sick by being around people who see it. That's how I started to heal the sick. I'd never healed anybody in my life. Well, I wasn't saved, no wonder. But when I did get saved, I had no thought of ever doing anything like that until I went to a prayer meeting. And one day I saw this nun in front of my eyes be healed of total deafness in one ear. She had an exploded eardrum from when she was a girl. And this man went and he got a chair and put it in the middle of the room and he got a word of knowledge. He said, I believe there's someone here with a bad ear. Where are you? This nun put her hands up. I thought, she can't be lying. She's a nun. He said, what's wrong? She told this story, terrible story of our serious injury. She sat in the front. She sat on this chair, and to my utter astonishment, she's healed right in front of us. Yeah, I can hear. Amazing. I'm like, whoa. The next week, I did exactly the same. I couldn't have done it the week before. I did it because I saw him do it, this guy. So I just copied because I'd seen it. I was in a prayer meeting with a bishop there, first time I'd ever been. And I was incredibly bold. If someone did this now, prayer meeting, I'd throw them out. But anyway. And I said, I just tried to get a word of knowledge. I never had a word of knowledge in my life, so I thought I'll just make it up. So I said, I think there's someone here with a bad back. I thought, that's pretty safe. And then I thought, oh, that sounds a bit cheesy. Everyone's got a bad back. I'll try and add to it. And you've recently been in hospital and you've been in agony for the last 2 months. Stop. That's either complete waffle and I'm out of here or I've hit the jackpot. This guy said, oh, that's me. His wife said, that's him. I thought, what do I do now? I thought, the chair. I picked up my chair. This is honestly what I did. I was 19 years old. I put the chair in the middle of the room. I said, sit there. I was absolutely scared up my head inside. The bishop was looking at me thinking, he looked as though he was thinking, who the heck are you in my house? It was in his house. Bishop Langton Fox in Wales, this is. And he said, and I sat this guy down. I was just doing what I'd seen so I could do it. I said, tell me about your problem. He said, I've been in hospital, I've been in agony, I've got plates in my back. I thought, don't tell me about your problem. I just did exactly what the guy had done with the deaf woman. In the name of Jesus, be healed. He never said anything at that moment, but he was completely healed. He went back to the hospital. Those metal plates had disappeared in his back. Is that a good way to start? Hey, guys, if you want any advice on healing, you know. Some guys start with headaches, plates and backs. No. You can only do it if you've seen it. The apostles could only do it because they'd seen it. That's absolutely the truth. We were in Haapsalu in Estonia. Oh, Alarie woke up then. And the other day with Chris and everyone. And what tremendous healings. What amazing healings. I mean, up 30%, I think, from anything I've ever seen. Amazing amount of healings and so instant. This girl came with a boyfriend crying her eyes out in absolute agony. I said, what's wrong? She said, I'm in pain. I said, well, I can see that. Where's your pain? She said, in my leg. I said, what is it? What have you done? She's an athlete. She was competing in Germany, throwing the javelin. And a few months before, a knee had come out of something. And absolute agony. She couldn't move her leg in a certain way, she kept telling me. I said, well, let's pray that God heals you. I said, are you all right to pray for her? This guy looks at me like, I'm just here for the, I'm just stood with her. I said, put your hand on her knee. And we just pray now in the name of Jesus, be healed. Kingdom of God come. I close my eyes. You don't look at what you can see. You look at what you can see. Close your eyes and see that kneecap and speak to it in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Any tendons, any rips, be restored in the name of Jesus now. I said, okay, let go of her. Have a little walk. She went, agony. I said, listen a minute. When you've been in pain for a long time, you're just so used to feeling it, it's hard to gauge. How much agony? 100% what it was before or a little bit different? She went, maybe a little bit different. How much? 5%? Maybe 10%. 10%'s good. Sit back down. It can have your hand again, mate. Put your hand on her knee. In the name of Jesus, we command this leg to be healed. I said, just keep praying, friend. I went and prayed for a few other people. A few other people came back. I see how you're doing. Take your hand off her knee. Have a little walk again. Still crying. I said, how's it doing? I thought, oh, is it happening, I said, what percentage better? She went, 90. I said, 90% better? She went, yeah. She was crying. I said, do that thing you couldn't do with your leg. She said, this. I said, yeah. I said, is that what you couldn't do? She said, yes. I thought she just liked crying this last. I said, sit back down. I said, we've got 90%. We're going to do 100. Keep praying for her. Then he starts crying then because he's meeting the Lord. The miles away from God, you see. That's the point. And he starts and he starts praying for himself. Jesus, I want to get right with you. I want to come back to you. I said, listen, pray for yourself in a minute. Just finish the leg. Do 10% on the leg. That lass went out 100% healed. Absolute. And they both back it to the Lord, crying their eyes out. We prophesied over them, giving some vision for their life. Is the kingdom of God awesome? You can't do that. Unless you see in the Holy Spirit. You have to see people heal to heal. That's why it's like when... Do you think Peter could have walked on water if he hadn't seen Jesus do it? I don't think he could. I think if Jesus was stood next to him, encouraging him, Peter, we're going to do a miracle. Jump out the boat. Walk on water. I don't think he could do it. But when he saw Jesus do it, he had a burning desire to be able to do the same. That's vision. If you see someone else doing something, you think, I want to do that. That's a good thing. Listen to me. Many of you are going to have to preach awesomely. If you see us preaching like this, think, I want to do that and more. Good. Don't let that desire go. Get hold of that burning desire and take it to the Holy Spirit. And say, I want to do that. I want to do more than that. I want to do better than that. You have to have that burning desire. I want to see people healed. I want to see people healed or whatever it is. I want to live a holy life. I'm sick of being up and down in sin. I want to conquer. I want to overcome. You have to have that desire. And take that desire to the Holy Spirit and he'll respond to. Lukewarmness gets nothing. You have to have fire, desire. And you take that desire. But when he saw Jesus walking on the water, then he could do it. Wow. Jesus says to him, no, well, actually, he had that burning desire, but then he checked. It's always good to check, isn't it? Jesus, if it is you, then say to me, come on the water, and I'll come. It's always good to check, especially if it's a big jump. Some people say to me, oh, Martin, it's great living by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I wouldn't, if I were you, unless the Lord has said to you, come. Otherwise, you jump out the boat and you'll sink at your first mortgage. But if God has spoken to you and you have a burning desire to do that, then you could do it. You can do impossible things. It's impossible for human beings to walk on water. You know that, don't you? Unless your spiritual vision is so clear that you can do impossible things. It's impossible for knee injuries to be healed in 5 minutes. But it isn't. Because our spiritual vision is bigger than that illness. Do you see that knee being healed? It is being healed. Okay, I need to go a bit faster. Anyway. You just copy. That's what you do. Do you remember when Peter raised the dead? Raised Dorcas. He goes in the room. He sends everyone out. Does that sound familiar? He prays. He turns to the body. Speaks to the body. Is that familiar? Yeah, because he's seen it happen. He's seen people raised from the dead. He was there when Jesus did it. So when he comes to a corpse and people are saying, will you please raise this person from the dead? It is not impossible to him because he's seen it. He's seen it. But he has to get that in translated into faith. So he copies Jesus. Send everyone out. That's a good. Get all belief out of this room. These people are weeping. These people are surrounded by death. Get them out. Shut the door. And he gets on his knees and he prays. I think Peter closed his eyes and he went back in his mind to that girl that Jesus raised. And he relived it. He remembered Jesus speaking to that corpse and telling it to get up. And he let that faith grow in him, in him, in him, to boiling point where he knew he had that faith. And then he opened his eyes and said to Dorcas, Dorcas, called my name, wake up. It's so powerful, isn't it? And all the blood in her body that had stopped moving, boo, starts moving. And a heart that stopped beating, boo-doo, 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 starts beating. And her pupils that were massive and dead come back to life. And a brain that stopped being active gets filled with life. And every cell in her body gets filled with life. It's absolutely awesome. And then those lungs open again. And who are you? I'm the Apostle Peter. Pleased to meet you. You can't do impossible things unless you see them. And unless you have a burning desire to do them. And unless you let faith come to you so that you can actually speak the word of faith. The blessing of vision. And there's the blessing of growth. God said to Abraham, I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will make you into a great nation. He says several times in the following chapters, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Listen, because this blessing of Abraham is for you. This is what comes to you now, this morning, through Jesus Christ. I will make you. So one blessing is vision. That's yours. Go get it. Another blessing is growth. Everything you touch, you're going to have spiritual green fingers. That's blessing. Everything you work on that God sends you to do works. Everything you touch grows. Every person you bless is blessed. Everything you attempt, you have success. Because success is inside you. It's a blessing from God's success. It is. It comes through visions and dreams. Joseph had a dream that he was incredibly successful. He had a dream that he was in a place of tremendous power and honor and people were bowing down to him. That was a dream from God. So no matter what he did in his life, that dream was inside him. He wouldn't let that dream go. And so that dream worked for him. So what? And Joseph experienced some terrible things in his life. His whole family turned against him and he was sent into slavery. Is that terrible? It is. But one problem with that, well, one good thing about that, not a problem, is that success is already inside him. He already believed. He'd received a dream of being on the top. So he became the most successful slave you'd ever meet. He gets to this house, and in no time at all, he's risen to the top. He's running the house. Then things go worse for him, falsely accused of rape. Now he's in prison. He's in the political prisoner's prison, the worst place on earth. But you know what? He's still got the dream of being successful. That dream works for him. And he ends up the most successful prisoner you've ever met. He ends up running the prison under the prison governor. Why? It's inside him. He can't help it. It's given from God to him in a dream. That's the importance of knowing that you're blessed. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I am absolutely certain now I'm blessed. No matter what happens, you are absolutely blessed by God. This is Route 61 stuff, but never see yourself as an orphan, brothers and sisters. Never see yourself as little or left behind or rejected. Jesus said the opposite of that. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. An orphan is someone without money, without resources, without love, without care, without guidance. That's not you. That's not you. You have a heavenly Father who absolutely loves you. So how you see yourself is very, very important. It's important that it lines up with truth. You might not like yourself. No one around you might like you. Your parents might have told you you're rubbish all your life. But if you come to Jesus Christ, all those curses are lifted instantly. And you're blessed. You're adopted into the family of God. That makes you a son, a daughter of God. Never see yourself as poor, brothers and sisters. This has got nothing to do with how much money you've got in the bank. Never see yourself as nothing. You're not nothing. And you're never poor. Never. Let me ask, if you were a prince or a princess of some faraway kingdom, you're literally part of a royal family, and you're on holiday in the UK, and you don't have any cash in your pockets, do you feel poor? Do you? Why? Because you're not poor. Neither are you. It's got nothing to do with how much money you've got in your bank. It's got nothing to do with what job you've got or what other people think of you. This is to do with who you are. This is your identity. You are a son or daughter of the wealthiest king that ever existed. You have all of God's resources to you whenever you need them. So go get them. Go get them. Through prayer and faith, you access them and get them. Don't act poor. You're not poor. Don't act like nothing. You're not. God is with you. God. The living God is with you. You haven't found a genie in a bottle. You'd only get three goes then. You've got limitless resources in God. Jesus said, you may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. But we don't ask. That's what James said. You know what the problem with you lot is? He says the early church. You don't ask. Why don't you have? You don't ask. Why don't you ask? Because you don't actually believe it. If you believed what I was telling you right now, you'd never stop praying. You'd pray about every single holiday, car, job, promotion, issue, child, family member. You'd spend a lot of time praying. Because you'd know you can either work like Billy and get nothing, or you can pray and get it all. Be blessed. You can have a blessed life. Go and get the blessing. It's yours. You access it by prayer and faith. That's how greatness comes to you. Greatness. The Apostle Peter, in one sense, he was a little fisherman, nobody. He ends up the most dangerous person in the Roman Empire. Hunted by the emperor. You've got to get rid of this guy. He's the biggest threat to the empire. It's incredible, isn't it? Greatness. He said, I will make your name to Abraham great. You connect to Jesus, you'll be very significant in this life. Very significant. You connect to Jesus, there is greatness about you and in you from God. And then there's the blessing of security. Once you're blessed, you can't be cursed. It says in Numbers chapter 22 and 24, the famous story of Balaam and Balak. Balak is a king. Balaam is like a witch. And when the people of Israel were coming across the wilderness, they had their first couple of battles and won and conquered one side of the Jordan. And when they conquered, I mean, they completely conquered. They didn't leave anyone alive. God said to them, don't leave anyone alive. I mean, it's pretty dramatic. Women, kids, animals, gone. That is scary. And the people on the other side of the Jordan were absolutely terrified of them. They were terrified of what they'd done. They're not just going to come in and make us slaves. They're going to come in and annihilate us. They were panicking. They looked at them from the top of the mountains across the Jordan, and there were a massive big camp. So they thought, let's get a witch. Let's get a serious witch. Let's pay big money and get the best witch there is around. Let's curse them. That's what Balak did. He sent for Balaam, who lived way over in Assyria, and he made this big trip, this witch, all the way to the nation, to Canaan, and he comes in and you'll have to read the story yourselves when you've got your own time. He comes in and Balak does a big party for him and all that and says, right, next day, come up to the mountain and curse them for me. And he gets up onto this mountain, he sees just a part of the people of Israel, and he opens his mouth to curse them, and he absolutely blesses them. He says, what a people! What a nation! They don't consider themselves part of any nation. The shout of the king is in the camp. Their God is with them. I wish I was part of them. The king says, stop! Shut up! Stop blessing them! I brought you here to curse them, he said. I'm trying. He says, let me take you somewhere else. Take you for another. Look at this part of them there. Right, curse them from here. Curse them, this big witch. And he says, they're beautiful. That camp is like a city. There's living water running down the streets of this city. And he goes berserk. Stop! Don't bless them. Don't curse them. Don't do anything. Just shut your mouth. And then he takes him one more time. You'll have to read them, the three oracles of Balaam. They make you cry. They're incredible. And in part of it he says, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed them, and I can't reverse it. Oh, I can't reverse it. Once you are blessed, you are blessed. Here's what the New Testament says about you. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is yours in Christ Jesus. Because you're in Jesus. You're in the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham wasn't Isaac. The real seed, the promised seed, was the Messiah, Jesus. And you're in him. You're totally connected to him spiritually. That's where you are. You're a blessed person. And no curse can stay on you or touch you and affect you. Just turn to the person next to you and say, flipping Nora, I am blessed. Okay, last 10 minutes, and then we're done. This is really important bit. And then you're blessed to be a blessing. You know, when God blesses you, he intends to bless other people through you. You know, God's heart is for the whole world, and it always was, not just for the nation of Israel, not just for Abraham's physical family, but for the whole world. God came to save and bless the whole world. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. Bless them all. You know, and that is the commission, the Great Commission. You know, right at the beginning, God blessed Adam and Eve, blessed them. That's how increase comes. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. That's the only way to be fruitful and multiply, is to be blessed by God. God blessed Adam and Eve, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the world and subdue it. Reign over it. Subdue it. That's the original blessing of God on human beings. Jesus' Great Commission sounds very like it. Go into all the world and subdue it with the gospel. Make them disciples. Overcome every cultural barrier, every demonic bit of idolatry, every godless lie and philosophy. Overcome it all with the power of the gospel and make them, every nation, disciples of mine. It sounds very like it, doesn't it? God created Adam and Eve. He blessed them. Jesus ascended into heaven. It says in the New Testament, as he ascended, he lifted his hands and blessed them. He's blessing us to go to the nations. We're blessed to go. We have permission. We have authority. We have backing. We have resources. We have power to go into every nation in Europe. And we will. And preach the gospel of Jesus. And see hall after school, after bullring, after stadium, filled with millions of people who are going to be saved in the next couple of decades. Millions. 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 Has to be millions, because 500,000 just around here. It's 3 million in Manchester. It's 12 million in London, isn't it? There's about 8 million in Birmingham, isn't there? Millions! Just in this island, millions. There's multiple millions in Europe crying out for blessing. I'm cursed! Can anyone bless me? Let me bring you some good news. Jesus loves you and died for you. And you could be forgiven of your sin and delivered from curse. And you can go to heaven and you can live a blessed life. You can start to have blessing coming into your life instead of curses. That's phenomenal. The greatest blessing you'll ever give anyone is the gospel. But it's very, very important, preaching the gospel and speaking blessing over other people and yourself. Do you know how important that is? Peter says many places, but I've just picked one for the screen. 1 Peter 3:9. Peter said, do not curse, but bless, so that you may inherit a blessing. The more you bless people, especially your enemies, you get blessed. Do you know that? Your words are so important, so damaging or so building. Are you listening? Your words, the word of a Christian, is worth its weight in gold. Don't use them lightly. Use them strategically, deliberately, with encouragement, with love. Dr. Emoto Masao, who was a famous Japanese scientist, a couple of decades ago, did a famous test now, with water. He was a microbiologist. He did a test with water. He got two glasses of water. He said to one glass, I hate you, you are ugly. He said to the other glass of water, I thank you, I love you, you are beautiful. Then he instantly tested them. The crystals from the glass that he'd cursed were all broken up and ugly and deformed. The crystals from the water that he'd spoken love to were perfect, six-angled crystals shining clear. He tried it again. He tried it thousands of times. And then he tried it with his thoughts. He got two glasses of water. He thought, didn't speak, just thought to one glass of water, you are ugly. I hate you. That's thinking, sorry. And he thought, just thought, to the other glass of water, I love you, you're beautiful, I thank you. Then he tested them exactly the same. Whichever one he tried, however many gallons of water he tried, it was exactly the same. And then he did the same test with food, it was exactly the same. Tested under the microscope. The particles were either beautiful, six-sided crystals, or distorted, deformed, shattered. Don't underestimate the power of words. The business world and the sporting world got hold of that. And they speak to themselves, don't they? Before they go out, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. Does it help them? Yeah, actually it does. It's proven to help them. They look in the mirror and they play certain music, sports teams to hype themselves up. I mean, they're from the world, so they don't understand this is actually God stuff. It's God stuff, really. So they don't understand it. I remember being in the middle of a football club once, and they were saying, yeah, in this, before we go out to play a match, we play all rock music and super heavy metal music to hype the players up. But I thought to myself, that's not going to help them, actually. Because it's all negative, destruction, death music. So all their little crystals in their body, they're going to be just shattered before they even get out there. But positive, loving, gracious words create. Do you know a child is 90% water? And an adult is 70% water. You have a lot of water bottles in here this morning. It's very important what you say to your children. It's very important what you say to your husband. What you think of your husband. He's a failure. You're creating a failure. Beware. You're creating a failure. You're creating as you speak. Or destroying. Or creating. It's up to you. People say to me, have often said to me, because we have such, I mean, I'm not trying to blow them up, they are a fantastic bunch of leaders here. And I go places and take someone with me and think, oh, if I had a guy like that. And then I take one of the other guys and they say, flipping, heck, how many have you got? These guys are awesome. If I had one guy like these, I mean, how do you get leaders like this? You grow them. In grow bags, leader bags. Ah, there's some truth in this. So I'll tell you how you grow a leader or anyone. First of all, you see that person as God sees them and you absolutely love them and believe in them. If you don't do that, you can't lead anyone. Never. Once you absolutely love them and believe in them, you speak what you see to them. You say, you are beautiful, you are awesome, I love you. And there's a bit more reality into that. It's much more prophetic. We have the Holy Spirit, right? We're not just secular people doing this. We're not sportsmen. We live with God, so we're speaking reality. So you see, we do this on Route 61, don't we? You speak to each other life. And you speak faith and life to those leaders. And you're actually creating it. They're believing it. And it happens both ways as well. I receive encouragement. That's what Band of Sisters, Band of Brothers is all about. That's why you have to prophesy positive, word of God, encouragement, vision. That's the power of prophecy. That's what Band of Brothers, Band of Sisters is about. That's why we're not just doing house groups. We're growing leaders for this revival. As we speak, as we prophesy, you believe it, you receive it, you're blessed, you're built up. As you speak, blessing. Blessing comes. God said to Aaron, let me tell you how to bless people. Say the Lord, because that's how you bless people. Words. Words are very, very important. Very important what you say to yourself, to others, to your enemies. Firstly, to yourself. Computer programmers understand this. Computer programmers are writing a language, aren't they? It's a language, 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 language. It's translated into the creating with that language as they whatever they want, they speak it in that computer language and it creates. Look at that, it's 3D. Yeah, they're creating. Oh, you mean those funny little signs end up there? Yeah, that creates. Language creates. If you connect that computer to one of those mask things, you could do 3D. Zip, 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 zip. That's how I healed that knee. I closed my eyes, I saw the bone get in. There was some bone off the top of a kneecap. I saw it. So I prayed the Holy Spirit would go zip, 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 and recreate. I saw it. I spoke to those cells. I commanded it to happen. It happened. The spiritual world is more powerful than the physical world. And you subdue that illness. You reign in life through grace. You reign in life. You decide what happens to your kids. You decide what happens to your marriage. You get a vision for it. You pray for it. You speak it into being. You make it happen. That's the authority of Jesus Christ in a believer. That's why Reinhard Bonnke says, preach the gospel and the gospel happens. How can it be that lives can turn around with just a simple message? Because it's the power of the word of God spoken. It literally recreates a human being. They're born again. That's how powerful the gospel is. The message of the death and resurrection of Jesus is the ultimate word. The ultimate word. But there's lots of other blessing words that you need to speak. Be careful what you say to yourself. We do a little bit of this on Route 61, looking in the mirror, facing the fact we say negative things, and then making ourselves say positive things. So when you look in the mirror, when you're having a shave, or not having a shave these days for me, but whenever you look in the mirror, say good things about yourself. You are beautiful. You are strong. You are young. You're cool. I love you. I like you. Insane? No, not really. The Bible says, love others as you love yourself. Most of us never, ever look at ourselves in the mirror. We don't. We look at our hair and we walk out. Look into your eyes and say, you're a son of God. You're made in the image of God. I love you. I accept you. You're not rejected. You're not hated. You're loved. You're valuable. You're chosen. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're loved by God's the truth. And will you feel different? Oh, yeah. Will those little particles of water in your body respond? I'm loved, I'm blessed. Don't you feel blessed when someone hugs you and genuinely says, I love you. Thank you for doing that. You're fantastic. You made my day. Actually, he made your day more than you realize. He may well have created your day for you and set you on a different course. That's why it's so important that all the negative, cursing, evil isn't in your life. All the filth of the internet, all the anti-stuff on television, all the negative lies. Satan is destroying you, destroying you, destroying you. You have to read the Word of God and be created anew. Your mind renewed. Okay, we're nearly done. It's very important what you speak to your husband and your wife. It's very important what you think of your wife and your husband and how you think they will become. She's incredibly sexy. She's incredibly sexy. She's incredibly sexy. Whoa, she's incredibly sexy. I'm serious. If you think your wife's beautiful, if you think your wife's gorgeous, if you think your wife is absolutely all-consuming in your eyes, that's what she'll become. Actually, and in your eyes. If you think your husband's nothing, you make him nothing. It's very, very important what you think. That's why if you say, I love you, dear, but you're committing adultery, that doesn't work. Because your actual thoughts of your wife, that's a total lie. There's no connect. But when there's a connect with your thoughts and your words, that's a choice. Then you are blessing them. You are blessing them. You are blessing them. And that blessing is powerful. You're blessed to be a blessing. And your enemies as well. Love your enemies, Jesus said. Bless those who persecute you. Got any problem with Muslims? We shouldn't have. We must bless those who persecute us. Bless them and pray for them. And pray God's best for them and salvation for them. And anyone else who persecute you, a boss, maybe a spouse sometimes when there's trouble going on at home, bless them. Bless them and you'll be set free and you'll be changed. It's all Route 61 stuff, isn't it? Forgiveness stuff. I'll end with this. We were in Tallinn on last Sunday morning. Me and Chris praying for a row of people. We got to this one woman. She was absolutely distraught. Her face was all twisted. She was totally white and her teeth were gritted. And she said, it's my husband who left me. And my life is absolutely terrible. He won't pay anything for the kids. I'm going to have to move out of my house. I'm losing my job. Everyone in this church hates me. No one's for me. Everyone's against me. So we sort of let her go on for a little bit. So, okay, listen, we haven't got much time. Can I just give you a little prescription? Huh? I'll give you a prescription, take it away. See if it'll help you. First of all, when any terrible thing happens in your life, it creates a deep wound in your soul. That wound fills with bitterness, and that is the water you're drinking every single day. Your life is filled with hate. I said, what's wrong with you physically? She looked at me as if to say, how do you know there's something wrong with me physically? Oh, there's bound to be something wrong with you physically if you're that bitter. She said, lots of things. Arthritis, pain, deep, 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 deep. And she wasn't old. So me and Chris said to her, here's what we want you to do. I want you to bless your husband and forgive him. What? You need to forgive him. Are you a Christian? Yeah, well, Christians forgive. So you need to forgive him. And I'd like you to bless him. Pray a blessing on him. What? Why? Because you need to be blessed. You're not blessed right now because of all our bitterness, but if you start to bless, you're going to be blessed. Your kid will be blessed. Your money will be blessed. God will come to you again because you're restricting him through your bitterness and your unforgiveness. God's happy to bless you, but he can't get to you. Are you willing to pray after me? I don't know. We're going to pray and we're going to say we bless your husband and we love him. Not I love him. Well, are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Well, Christians have to love everyone, even their enemies. So you're willing to say I love him?
I can't.
Well, why don't you pray after me?
Okay.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I forgive my husband.
I forgive my husband.
And I choose to bless him instead of curse him.
I choose to bless him instead of curse him.
And I say to him, I love you. And she said,
and I say to him, I love you.
And the Holy Spirit came on her in power. Power. She was absolutely anointed. The healing power of God flowed through her body. She was absolutely sobbing and set free and released. And she was absolutely buzzing and her face was turned up and she had hope. I said, you've got hope, haven't you? I said, yeah, I've got hope. You go, because you're blessed, because you've been set free. Brothers and sisters, that's long enough. Let's stand up. Let me pray a blessing over you. And why don't you, by faith, just receive it? I'll just pray some blessings, then we'll have a cup of tea, okay? Which is the great British blessing, of course. This is what the Lord said. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Oh, that you would bless them, Lord, indeed, and enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with them and keep them from evil so they'll be without pain. And Lord, hear our prayer. When God first raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you. By turning each one of you from your wicked ways. Lord, bless us by turning us from our wicked ways. Bless us by turning us from our particular wicked ways, our individual weaknesses and sins. Bless us by turning us from them now. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, bless us to bless other people. We thank you for the blessing of Abraham. That is ours through Jesus Christ. We believe we are a blessed people. We're loved by God. We're smiled upon him by his grace. That our sins will never be counted against us because of the cross. So Lord, make us absolutely happy. Full of joy. Trusting you. And reaching out to you for everything we need in faith. In the name of Jesus.